India's Prime Minister has addressed the nation, saying the deaths of 20 soldiers killed in a border clash with Chinese troops at the Himalayan border will not be in vain. The Indian deaths are the first military casualties along this disputed border for more than 40 years.
India wants peace, but on being provoked, India is capable of giving a befitting reply in any case. We don't compromise with the integrity and sovereignty of our country.
That's the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The comments came as diplomats and senior military figures from both countries held talks, vowing not to let tensions escalate. Dr. Adnan Nasimallah is a senior lecturer in international relations at King's College in London. Dr. Adnan Nasimallah, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you very much for having me.
We heard that rhetoric from the Indian Prime Minister there, stirring stuff, but both sides of this dispute say they don't want things to get out of hand. Do you expect to see more violence in the coming days along that border?
Well, ultimately, we don't really know. I think that one of the things that has happened is that the violence came out of the fact that there's been a huge military buildup on both sides of this disputed border in recent times, and it's very hard to maintain absolute peace without a de-escalation of forces.
So in terms of that, this huge military build-up, how significant is it, and why is it happening?
Well, in the larger picture, this has been a border that has been disputed since at least the 1960s, based on sort of tensions between the Chinese area of Tibet and what is now part of Kashmir, but used to be part of this area called Ladakh, which used to be part of the princely state of Kashmir, is now a union territory. Now, on both sides, they dispute the line, and more recently, what has happened is that both India and China have been building roads in the region, and that looks to both sides like threatening behavior. So that's why we see so much buildup. And more recently, we've had, with coronavirus, the sense that the Chinese are in a position to sort of take advantage of events when India is a little bit more distracted.
Yeah, despite the strength of the rhetoric we heard, both sides, though, privately are saying they don't want this to escalate. What do you think? How great is the risk of serious conflict here in terms of that military build-up you spoke of? I've read that China has been bringing in surface-to-air missiles, it's been in fighter jets. I'm not sure what's happening on the India side, but they're positioning themselves for a clash.
I think that we're now in a dangerous position in which neither of them want to be seen as backing down, but I don't think either really wants a massive conflict in the region. So it's now this situation of elite-level bargaining to try and save face while also trying to limit the capacities for escalation.
From the Indian side, a grievance is that they say China has crossed the line of actual control, that's what's called the LAC, and trying to unilaterally change the status quo on the border, building on the wrong side. I mean, do you see this fitting into a pattern from China we're seeing in other parts of the world? I'm thinking of the South China Sea, where China has been increasingly aggressive towards territory and borders.
Well, China, in general, has a very assertive attitude towards unclear borders because, from their perspective, the borders came out of the imperial experience. Mm-hmm. That Britain, at that point, under the British state, the British Indian state of Kashmir, created borders at a time in which China was uniquely weak in the sort of late 19th and early 20th centuries. So from China's point of view, that they're reasserting their claims that have been there for a long time. Now, as you say, the South China Sea is in some senses a much more serious challenge, because that's a serious challenge involving five or six different nations as well as the U.S. Navy. Here, there's not that much strategic rationale for extending the border a few kilometers at the price of huge blood and treasure. South China Sea, I would be much more concerned about over the long term. But this is a dangerous situation because on both sides you see this huge escalation. And the thing to remember about India is that India is also a democracy. So there are sort of issues of public opinion and public support.
Yeah, I was just going to go to that, yeah, Adnan. I mean, we know at least 20 Indian soldiers have been killed in this clash, some suggesting more. This was a clash of fists and rocks, we're told, because mostly these soldiers aren't armed in order to prevent escalation. Yeah. But we've also heard some pretty grisly details that some of the soldiers were actually, you know, fell off a cliff. China hasn't released details of deaths. India says at least 40 Chinese soldiers have died in this, but we don't know. But what you said about, you know, India being a democracy, both countries in a pretty strong nationalist phase at the moment, how much pressure do you think there'll be on Narendra Modi or in Xi Jinping to sort of muscle up in the name of the nation?
Well, I think that China is clearly being more assertive in part because they're in a position to do so. Up until just the last few days, it's been the case that China has sort of had coronavirus under control and, in fact, could operate with greater autonomy than a lot of countries, including India, because India, up until fairly recently, was almost entirely under lockdown. Now, the one thing to say about India is that Narendra Modi's the entire point of his political mobilization of the Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP, is in fact focusing on the kind of assertion and honor of the Indian nation. So it is part, I think, of a very key aspect of his own support among his voters and his supporters, that they are aggressive, that they are assertive in relation to China.
Adnan Nasimallah, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Have a good morning.
Adnan Nasimallah, evening for him, morning for us. He's a senior lecturer in international relations at King's College in London.